It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Europe tries an old trick to stop the market mayhem, a ban on betting against bank stocks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We continue our special coverage of the economic turmoil now with the morning open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, will Europe's emergency measures to calm the markets be effective? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up again this morning. The Dow up 131 points, a little more than a percent at 11,274. The NASDAQ up 0.7%, and the S&P 500 up 1.2%. A government report this morning found consumers spent more money last month on everything from cars to furniture. Retail sales rose 0.5%. That's the best increase since March. And some are saying that's what's driving the markets today. But these days, who knows? Now let's get to what's going on in Europe this morning. Four European countries have responded to this week's market swings with a ban. France, Spain, Italy, and Belgium have temporarily prohibited so-called short selling of bank stocks. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
By short selling, speculators can bet that the price of certain shares will go down. They sell the shares, which they don't own, buy them back at a lower price, and then pocket the difference. The French government claims that this activity was behind the steep falls in some French bank shares this week. There were rumours that some of the banks were in trouble and that France might lose its AAA credit rating. The rumours were later denied. The French say that a ban on short selling will calm the markets and prevent speculators from profiting from false rumours. Richard Hunter's an analyst with British stockbrokers Hargreaves Lansdowne. He's doubtful about the effect of such a ban.
There is very little evidence that it does work. So if we look back to 2008, when the US and the UK did try it on financials, the drop in financial share prices was simply spread over a longer period of time.
Only four countries have imposed the ban. The other 22 members of the European Union, including Britain, have refused to follow suit. And the US says it will not be imposing a ban either. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, now let's get some analysis to all this with Gus Fauché. He's an economist who focuses on the big picture macroeconomics with Moody's Analytics. He's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Gus, when I hear ban on short selling, I think trouble. What do you think of this?
Well, I think this is probably a cosmetic measure. I don't think that banning short selling is going to reduce any of the pressures on bank stocks. I think it's an effort by the governments involved to show that they're doing something, but it doesn't take care of the underlying problem.
And is the underlying problem Europe? When we look at this entire crisis, the reason the market is going up and down and up and down, is it all about Europe or is it something else?
I think Europe is a part of it, but there's real weakness in the U.S. economy as well. And I think our investors are concerned about whether the U.S. economy is falling into a double-dip recession. I think that over the next few weeks, as the data become clear, that hopefully that some of that volatility will fade. But I think we're still in for a rough few weeks as data comes in that's good, data comes in that's bad, and we're going to see big swings in stock markets. So the problems in Europe are adding to the problems in the U.S., but they're not the root of the problems here.
Well, is there anything that can be done, do you think, at this point to sort of ease concerns?
I think that there's little that either the federal government or the Federal Reserve can do right now. The Federal Reserve took some aggressive steps on monetary policy earlier this week, and markets did like that. But the Obama administration, they have their hands tied. I think more stimulus would be helpful, but that isn't going to happen in the current Congress. And that's why you see President Obama making these bus trips to the Midwest, where he really doesn't announce anything new.
For someone like you who really focuses on the economy all the time, is this a scary week for you or just sort of business as usual?
No, I am concerned. I mean, I don't think the U.S. economy will fall into recession again, but the odds that that may happen over the next 6 months or so are still about 1 in 3, which is pretty high. I'm just concerned about confidence. Will businesses continue to spend? Will consumers continue to spend?
Gus Fauché, economist with Moody's Analytics. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
JCPenney is reporting flat profits for the last quarter this morning thanks to aggressive discounting to bring in shoppers. The company is also predicting sales will only rise by a couple percent in the next few months. And it's the future, not the past, that is worrying retailers. How much will they have to adjust their forecast for the rest of the year to take into account what's going on in the economy right now? Sally Herships reports from New York.
Over the next few days, major department store chains like Nordstrom, Sears, and Saks will report their earnings for the last quarter. But what everybody is really going to be listening for is what the retailers think the future looks like. Paul Swinand is an equity analyst with Morningstar.
What's been happening, though, is companies have said, hey, we haven't seen anything yet. We're cautious. We're maybe a little worried, but thus far, the consumer hasn't really responded.
Thus far, we haven't had a week like this on Wall Street. Still, Swinand says, most big department stores have been basing their expectations on a difficult economy for 2 years. He says retail chains at the low end, like Kohl's and JCPenney's, have already figured out how to sell in a down market. Swinand says they could see sales grow 2 to 4%.
Main Street hasn't really felt the recovery yet.
One segment of the retail economy that has been cushioned is luxury. Retail consultant Howard Davidovitz.
The top tier of Americans had a phenomenal last few years, and that's reflected itself in tremendous sales in Louis Vuitton, in Hermes, in jewelry stores, in Harry Winston, in Tiffany's.
You get the idea. And now it's these retailers who may have to lower their expectations. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Our special coverage continues online at Marketplace.org and later today on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Abel Auction House in Commerce, California. It's where you go to find deals, and it's where we're going to go tomorrow to find out how you're dealing with the new economic normal.
When you're in something like the wine business, we don't have that flexibility to suddenly say, we're going to do something else. We're in it for the long haul.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, live from the City of Commerce, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.